Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Thursday night, so we are talking about knowing God, being able to hear His voice, understand what He's saying to us, and then act on those directions. And importantly, be able to distinguish His voice from all others. Our goal here is to learn to rule and reign here on this earth through dependence on Him. So it's vitally important that we have that confidence that we know how to hear His voice. There will be times when He won't say anything. There'll be times of silence. And that's when it's so crucial for us to have the confidence that we are doing what is necessary to hear Him, and that He is merely choosing to be silent. It's His prerogative as to when He speaks to us and how and what He says. God is under no obligation to speak to us just because we need to hear Him. It's those times between the stress points where we develop our senses, our being able to hear Him, being able to test Him, so that those times that He's silent, we can just rest. We can just follow through with what we know to do. It's like being in a relationship. And, for instance, we have so many military families where their spouse, they don't hear from them for a good long time. And there has to be that confidence in the relationship that even though they don't hear from them or they don't have that personal contact with them, that the relationship is still strong. And that's because the relationship was forged when they had a chance, when they were together. They worked at that relationship. It's the same way with us, is there will be times when the heavens will be as brass. It's for our own benefit that we don't wait till we need to hear Him because for a direction or for whatever reason. But we value our relationship with Him to be working on it even when we don't need to be. We never want to take His presence for granted. Instead, we want to value who He is, how He loves us, and everything He has for us more than ruling and reigning according to our own way of doing things. So as we are learning to depend on Him, we are learning how to rule and reign over our own mind, our own will, and our own emotions. That victory starts very personally. And equally, our relationship with God is very personal. It not only starts very personal, but it will always be very personal Now, if you'd like to join our conversation at any time about this topic, give us a call, 718-664-6988, if you'd like to have a question or would like to add to this particular topic. When we talk about God's personal presence, it's personal in a couple different ways. It's personal because it's personal to us. We all have our own unique approach to life. We all have our own ways of doing things and ways of being convinced, ways of thinking and feeling and deciding. And God makes himself known to us according to us personally. And there is that relationship between, for instance, myself and God. Nobody else can have that relationship. It's just between him and me. It's personal. But from God's perspective, it's also private. Because God is a person. He's not exactly like you and I, because he created you and I. But he's a person. If for some, if we treated our friends the way we treat God, we wouldn't have friends very long. So the more we get to know him, we will find out that he expresses himself uniquely. And we can't put him in a box and say, okay, this is how you act, and this is what you can say, and this is, you can't do this, and you can do this. So part of our experience with him will be to recognize who's the God. And this comes back to our standards of relationship. If we think or believe or are being taught that God only acts according to certain traditions or things that have happened historically in the past, or he does do things this way and won't do things that way, we are basically dictating to God how he can behave. Now, growing up, I've heard many times that God will never do anything contrary to his character. And that's absolutely true. He doesn't have to. But what we try to do is analyze what we think is God and say, does this meet God's character? This is where we run into that what would Jesus do thing, which is merely a distraction, because it is disrespectful to God to ask others, to ask someone else, what would Jesus do? Who is the appropriate person to ask? Jesus. And we can ask him. So we are going to be developing a personal relationship, a personal acknowledgement of his personal presence. We're going to do this by experiencing God's personal presence. Now, we're in the process of learning to experience healing and learning to overcome our enemies. So we will also need to adjust our expectations of what it is like in general to know God. Our beliefs are in the process of changing. And so our expectations of who God is will also need to change. Many of us want to know him better so we can be in his will, perhaps thinking that doing so will keep us from danger or in line for a future reward or blessing. We've talked about this. Or we want to know him better because we think that we will then be able to feel or perceive him more certainly. We'll have that confidence, which will in turn motivate us to do what we think he's called us to do. Or we think that getting closer to him will please him or meet our earthly needs or provide healing or launch us into ministry. But the kingdom of God is not built. It is not something that is leading to something else. Okay? Knowing God is the reward. Knowing God is your healing. Knowing God is your motivation. The kingdom of God is entered, not built. It's completed. It is his presence. It is who he is right now. So experiencing the personal presence of God, knowing him, that's really the goal. The final reward, the kingdom of God, being one in him and with him. It is where he reigns, where he rules, creates, governs, where he celebrates eternally, even as we ourselves reign, rule, create, govern, and celebrate with him now. Experiencing God's personal presence now is eternal life. It's not something for when you die, or it's not a spiritual state. It is who you truly are in your spirit now. Your spirit is already enjoying that eternal life. Now, God's personal presence involves several aspects that as we do need motivation, we do need a reason to pursue God, just because we're not there yet. We're not full, complete, and entire spirit, soul, and body. So he woos us. And he draws us not to understand him, not to build the kingdom, but to experience his personal presence. And it starts with cultivating quietness. recognizing that intimate communion with God on a personal level occurs within us, within our spirit and our soul, and to some degree or another in our physical body. And part of our task will be to lessen and eventually be able to ignore the noise we live with on a daily basis. This is not necessarily just our earthly situation. In other words, the noise that's in the room with you. The activity in our soul, our thoughts, our emotions, our decisions all need to be brought under the control of our spirit, which is already under the control of His Spirit. Our goal is to be able to recognize His slightest whisper or moving in any realm, in any way. To be able to do that, the activity in each realm must be neutralized, where it is neither positive or negative, and does not affect our ability to know God. Remember that all activity in the spiritual realm is already in perfect alignment with the Spirit. So our work is in the supernatural realm where our soul dwells, and the natural realm where our body dwells. So taking those realms head on, as you devote time and attention to knowing God, it is likely He will begin to point out areas that need to be adjusted in your life, or areas of your soul that need to be brought under your spirit's control. This does not necessarily mean that there is something wrong with the activity or the habit or the way you're spending that time, for instance. Merely that it is a distraction from entering into His rest according to His schedule. Again, cultivating quietness is in many ways merely showing up for class. Another way to put that is when you start a new job, when you've been hired to start a new job, you come to that position with a certain set of qualifications. And you've been hired because your qualifications meet that job. It is now your new employer's responsibility to train you and equip you for the demands of that specific position. So there may come a time when nothing seems to be happening. It's not our job to make something happen. If you show up for class and the classroom is empty, and you check and you check your list, yep, I'm supposed to be here in this classroom at this time, you just wait. You do what you know to do. You let God do the rest. It's not our job to get Him going, to get His attention. He is not going to respond to us because we are loud or passionate or frustrated or can quote the right scriptures to him, or because we have worked ourselves into a particular emotional state or worshipful state or anything. Doesn't matter how many people are agreeing on any prayer chain. He loves us. And his desire for us is that we receive that love. He's so much less complicated than we make him out to be. But we allow him to provide the training. Once we start, we show up. You've been put into a new position. You've been hired. You've got the qualifications. Your job now is to just show up. And he'll train you. He'll provide whatever training you need. He'll provide whatever equipment you need. And he'll give you feedback on how you're doing. Now, just like with the job, if you don't show up, there are going to be ramifications to that. And if he gives you assignments and those assignments aren't done, there are going to be consequences for that. Now, unlike an employer, he's not going to fire you. So, you might as well learn how to do the job. And that job is learning to rule and reign here on this earth, your spirit over your soul and your body. How it's done, he will provide the training. He will provide the assignments. He will provide exactly the projects that you need. This is one of the reasons it's so important to not compare what you're going through with anyone else. And in some respects, again, it's important to keep what God is doing through you and to you in speaking to you private. Sometimes it seems like small groups and Bible studies and cell groups and even home churches. People are drawn to small groups because that way they get a chance to talk, to share what God is teaching them. And as a teaching ministry, there are so many people who want to know this material, not so they can experience change and freedom and healing in their life, but because it's something different that they can go out and teach. Now, there's nothing I can do about that. But I can say that this does bring us into a conflict with God's purpose for us. When he's talking to us, and all we can do is be thinking, okay, now how am I going to share this with my group? We're not really listening. We're not really hearing. We're taking notes. It's not sinking in. And we're not really valuing who he is and what he has to say. Every minute we have with him, which is every minute we have, is so valuable. He can stretch every minute we all know that everybody has 24 hours in a day. Well, some people have plenty of time on their hands, and some people have no time on their hands. God knows that. And somehow he stretches 5 minutes into 5 hours worth of quietness for those who only have 5 minutes. Now, sometimes that 5 minutes is what's left over. And God may start dealing with you about cutting back on where, on your choices of how you're spending your time. And likewise, for those who have time on their hands, tons of time might be spent cultivating that quietness, and only a small moment of recognizing his movement in your life may result. And you think, that wasn't much of a return on my time investment. I put in all this time and this is all I get. Well, he's testing something else there then. And by testing, what does testing do? It reveals weakness. Steel is tested to find out how strong it is, how much weight it can carry, how much flexibility is in its core. And so God tests us as well. It's not so we can either pass or fail, but so we can stop relying on our own strengths, so we can stop hiding our weaknesses, so we can start depending on him. And that dependence is something each one of us has to work out ourselves. We go through processes and steps. This is how to do it. But it's merely like those footprints you see on the floor in a dance studio, learning to do the foxtrot or whatever dance step. You follow, put your feet here, and you'll learn this dance step. Doesn't do a thing unless you put your whole body into it. You start doing it. So as you invest in and move forward in learning how to cultivate quietness with him, how to know him, how to let him be the God, as you begin to show up for class, and he starts training you, you will find that through that, there is a satisfaction and a contentment and a rest and a joy that cannot be expressed in words. It's something, it's better felt than telt. But once you experience it, you will want more. Because there is no pressure, there is no condemnation, there is no stress. It's all the opposite. And yet you may be even more active than you were before. So we'll pick up there next Thursday. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again on Saturday at 10 o'clock for our series. In the meantime, Have a great evening. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.